I'm gonna say a few things here. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for the anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we first started out, my wife and I first started out, we just love God. And we really were not looking for a place to preach or anything. We had plenty of places to preach. All those streets running out down the street. Plenty. And we must have been out there on the streets everywhere we went, whether it be Tulsa when I was going to school, didn't make any difference. We were out there one day, I just flashed in my mind, us out there in the project, we had rounded up a gang. And we were holding hands, made them hold hands in a circle in prayer. Remember us going door to door out there in the projects, asking people, do they need prayer? I just wanted to serve. They had to really work with me to get me to call myself pastor. As you know, I'm Brother Bill. And I remember they wanted to move my office out from the place where you come right in the door and the first office you see is mine. And they wanted to move me upstairs so I could have some time to concentrate. And I wouldn't even let them do it. So they waited till I went on vacation. They did it anyway. I remember I was up at Bishop Brazier's church. Remember he said to me, he said, I want you to next time come sit up here on the stage with us. Probably saw a call on my life. I got up there on the stage. Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I didn't tell you to sit up here. It was tough all the way through that sermon. It was tough. But at a certain time, God was ready. And I was ready. But I wasn't looking to try to be somebody that somebody would say, oh, look how great he is or whatever. I didn't know this mall was in the picture. I just came to Chicago with $200. We just love God. So I'm just saying that I believe one of the things that's important is that you and I kind of make sure that we look beyond some of the outward things that people try to use to pump you up in so forth. And look at the harvest. Look at what God is calling you to do. And don't compare yourself with other people. Everybody, God has planned for us to be successful. But just don't think that because he's got this, you got to have this or whatever have you. Stay in your own lane. Stay in your own lane. And run your own race. Now this, let me give you, I tell you, Pastor Nance, you really stirred this thing up tonight. I mean, that was excellent. Excellent. I mean, all of our speakers were just dynamite. I mean, the thing of it is that all of it is that, you know, you see a lot of things happening sometimes in a place where that particular message that you talked about right there, that is one of the most needed messages today, especially with people going in ministry. They need that message. Let's see something. Let's go over here and go over to John chapter 4 very quickly. I'm going to let you go. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Has any man brought him aught to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Finish his work. And I really believe that that is what the church is going to do, is that we're going to finish the work that has been started. And he says, "Say not ye, there yet 4 months, then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth," there's the word again, "fruit unto eternal life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is a saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Now, just share with you what God has kind of put in my heart. That one of the things that is needed in the church for us to advance the kingdom is something called revelation. Revelation. Now, I've preached in several places this message called a time of restoration. A time of restoration. But it's kind of interesting about restoration is that God, whatever is revealed to you will be restored to you. And when we're talking about restoration, we're talking about everything that God has promised. Now, let me show you how this works, because we're going into a season. There's a shifting where we're going to shift from information to revelation. Yes, sir. Of the body of Christ, that you and I are actually going to be seeing the invisible, because that's where Jesus saw. That's where the Adam was operating at the first. This, let me get my notes together here. When I was working for IBM, it was God was calling me into full-time ministry. And I couldn't go. At least every time I tried to go, this voice began to talk to me, talking about the baby needs some shoes and, you know, car note due and rent too. And I couldn't move. I tried to. But over in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Well, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some say, well, some say you're John the Baptist. You know, others said Elias, one of the prophets. He said, "But who do you say that I am?"
That's right.
He said, Peter began to say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, well, Peter, he said, now, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, the verse 17, flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Hallelujah.
Notice what he's saying here. So I saw here that Peter didn't get that from any natural source, But this was given to him supernaturally by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost gave it to him. And Jesus went on to say that, I say unto you, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As you and I have revelation, we can advance the kingdom. And one of the things that Satan is out to try to keep you and I from is revelation knowledge. And one of the ways that he tries to attack revelation knowledge is by keeping the church carnal. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter, I'm just running through it real quick, chapter 3 now, he talks about this, but after he talks about it, after he's talked about revelation, because he's talking about revelation in chapter 2, where he says the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of men, the things that God's prepared for them, those who love him, but God has revealed them, verse 10, unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's revelation knowledge come near. He said the Holy Ghost is going to be your teacher. And he's going to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So I had to listen to the Holy Ghost, because only the Holy Ghost told me that a church can buy a mall. Because I had never seen a model like that. Only the Holy Ghost told me that the church can buy a bank. I had never seen anything like that. I'm telling you, the reason why the body of Christ has not advanced the kingdom is because the revelation has not been there. And what you have to understand is that Jesus prayed for this revelation. Paul prayed. Well, Jesus did, but Paul prayed. He said this, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, if you'll take that verse and put it in the Amplified and put it up there on the board for me, please. And he said this, for I always pray to you, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the Father of glory, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets in the deep and what? Intimate knowledge of him. Keep going. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light to that, so that you may know, I'm kind of letting go of my page here, praise God, that you may know, that you can know and understand the hope which he has called you and how rich his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Now, turn to Colossians and look at Colossians, just put it up there on the board. I don't even know where I'm coming back to now. Colossians, and I'm doing this real quick, Colossians chapter 1, and look at that now, because we're talking about increasing. Look at verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being what? Fruitful in every good work. Keep going. And increasing in the knowledge of God, keep going, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience with what? Long suffering and with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, I said that Paul prayed for revelation, that he prayed over in Colossians, the church of Colossae, he prayed in Ephesus. Why? Because that was the key, Paul knew it, for advancing the kingdom and finishing the work. You see, all these mountains out here, the mountains, the Bible says that there are seven pillars that hold up the society according to the wisdom of God in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. And there's seven pillars that are holding this thing up. And in those seven pillars, all of these, wisdom has built her house. She has hewed out seven pillars. A pillar holds up a structure. It's holding up society. So the enemy copied that, and he calls them mountains, and he took Jesus up to this high mountain and showed him all the other kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of media, the kingdom of education, and so forth. Now, the business is in there too, but we got to take all these mountains. But you can't take them without revelation knowledge. Are you following what I'm saying? So the revelation is key for us to go and advance the kingdom, watch this, and finish his work. Because to finish his work, the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdom of our God. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that we are this generation that God has been waiting for, that we are going to make an impact in this world that has rarely been seen before, that we have a larger responsibility than any other generation that's ever existed, that you're seeing things going on in the earth now that have never gone on in the earth before. You have never had tweet in the earth before. You've never had Facebook. Come on now. But you're seeing a series of things happen, of devastation, of the curse that have never been seen before. And without the kingdom, life would be lost in multitudes. So I'm saying God's people now are being deployed to every place of this earth. No longer can we preach about a denomination. We're going to have to preach that the king is coming. And the government of God is being set up in this earth, and things that are going to happen in this earth are going to be under the jurisdiction of the people of God. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, let's just go back real quick and look at 1 Corinthians again and chapter 3. Because the carnal Christian is one that's born again, but still being led by his flesh, his or her flesh. And what we got to do is we got to get out of that, folks. That's why I said that faith now is going to have to be taught, because faith is a way of helping people escape some of that need to have feelings before they can believe that things are happening. Faith is key. It's key for advancing the kingdom of God. So look what it says here. Lord have mercy. Can I just give you this? Praise God. In this thing, this faith that we're talking about, Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Flow. Amen. No, Jesus, I can't even stop. Look what it says, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. I have fed you, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet what? Carnal. For where there is among you, keep going, envying, come on, strife, come on, divisions, are you not carnal? Keep going. And walk, the Bible says, the Amplified, as mere men. So I'm saying you don't need to be jealous of somebody else's ministry. Those kind of things are designed to draw you into carnality, and the carnality takes over your life. Next thing you know, the revelation is gone because you're not depending on God anymore. Now you're depending on your own ability to lift you up. And I'm just saying the light goes out. The next thing you do, you're struggling and you're fighting the battles in the natural. And that's when those battles are long and they're hard. But if you come up in the spirit and look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, your battle is going to be short and momentary or easy. Now, as we look at this, let me just give you one more thing. Glory to God. As we look at this, we're coming into a season now for the Christian community. that, like I said, it's going to be a shift. You're going to be shifting from the information to revelation. Now, what I did is I had determined beforehand. Well, let's look at the Apostle Paul. Just look at that real quick. Look at Galatians and chapter 1, please. Galatians chapter 1. Now, I have determined that, first of all, I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live my life by faith. I'm not talking about faith to use it when I get a need of a spare tire because I had a flat. I'm talking about faith every day. Use it every day. I said faith every day. Now, look what it says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you something. What happened to Paul before he had revelation? Notice what happened. He was killing Christians. He was consenting to their death. Why? Because he thought he was doing right. And I'm telling you, without revelation, you can be deceived. And what God wants you to do is get in that Bible till it jumps out and talks to you. Say amen to that. And not just read it over once and think you can preach that thing. That thing got to be cooked, got to be marinated. Come on now. And so forth. And God will give it to you line upon line. And so as you come out with it, Paul then start getting revelation. And all of a sudden on the Damascus Road, notice what happened. He then had an encounter with God, a light from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. You see the revelation of that, that the light from God's word is going to be brighter than anything else that you can receive regarding that same word. Say amen to that. And you might have some knowledge in your life, but if you ever get revelation in your life, you become solid like a rock and unshakable. And I'm saying that when God pointed things out to me, I had to get the revelation. One of the things I had to get the revelation of which way God wanted me to go, but for me to be able to grab hold to it. When, what, I'm gonna say something here, but just take it down. Whatever's revealed to you will be restored to you. Whatever's revealed to you. And God wants to reveal everything that is in that scripture regarding your life and your inheritance from this time forward. See, the enemy, glory to God. Let me just read the rest of this right here. So look what he did. Look what he said here in verse 15 of Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his what? Grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not, come on, with flesh and blood. You see, once God shows it to you, don't go back to your flesh and check it out to see if in fact this thing is so, but just take what God said and begin to run with it. Say amen to that. I am finding with my life, I couldn't ask anybody about a mall because they didn't have none. I couldn't ask any Christian about a bank because I didn't know of any. I couldn't ask anybody about a Joseph School of Business because they didn't know anything about it. I'm just saying what God gave me. But now we're planting Joseph Schools of Business all over the world. Now, one of the things that he showed me is that there's going to become something against it. The system is about to be judged. It's not that God is pronouncing judgment on it. It's that they've been sowing to the flesh, and now it's about to reap destruction. But when you walk in the kingdom, you're protected from the judgment that comes in this earth. So these are kingdom businesses God's going to raise up, and we are going to be the Josephs of our time. Now, what is he sending you? He's sending you business people. He's sending you leaders and so forth. You got to understand, you're the priests, but they're the kings. They go out and get the spoil. They're going to go out and win battles. I don't mean fight people. I mean win contracts. I'm talking about start new companies, but they're going to be starting them out of a prophetic word that's going to come out of your mouth. We're about to see kings and priests flow together
Now you're about to see billionaires over here, millionaires over here, even trillionaires gonna come into the house of God. Now, where did I get this from? I got it from God. Didn't ask nobody about it. I preached on seeding for the billion flow, and I'm telling you, I preached that. I went down in Tulsa one time and preached it. Next thing I know, I got back here in Chicago, I got a call. God says, a billionaire wants to see you. This is a pastor. He said, I know him. He called me and asked me, could he set up a meeting with you? I told him I'd call you and find out. He came up and met with me. He sat over that table in my office and asked me one thing. Where did you get that message from? I said, I got it from God. He said, I ain't never heard a preacher preach like that in my life, and I've been listening to some of the best of them. He said, now I don't go to church or anything like that, but that message there got my attention. I got another call that said they bootlegging that tape all around Wall Street. I'm telling you, see, there's some kings out there ready to hear this, because the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Oh, yeah, they waiting on it, folks. Some of them, they've never been to church, but they're making billions of dollars. But the Bible says that they've heaped it up for the last days. They heaped it up so that they can give it over to those who are good before God. I'm saying that the sinner has a ministry. His ministry is to stay up night and day and gather it. Come on, gather it. Come on, come on, gather it so he can give it over to you. Oh, there's a shift in our thinking. I got a hold of one of Jerry Savelle's tape on Seed Time and Harvest, and I started listening to it, and he got over here in Mark chapter 10. He got down here in verse 28 and said, and Peter began to say, lo, we've left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters, a father or mother or wife or children or land or IBM for my sake and the gospel's. Come on now, the company had been good to me. That's nothing against the company. I'm just saying God was calling me out. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. I meditated it till one day coming down University Avenue, boom, something went off inside of me. Harvest time. Harvest time. Inside, living from the inside out. And I said, whoa, I saw it like I never saw it before. And now I saw that Jesus, he was up on that, when that temptation, when the devil showed him the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world, watch this, and the glory of them. The devil showed Jesus the money that he had accumulated in his kingdom, showed it to him. And I started looking at that, and I really believe that everything God's gonna do for you, he's already done. Come on now, that there is an economy in heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's up there, it's already there, folks. It's all, when Abram was told to go up there and offer up his son, he went up there, lifted up this thing, and to slay his son. But notice what he told the people who went with him halfway. He said, me and the boy are going up on the mountain. We'll be back. He saw something. Go over in Hebrews. You'll see what he saw. He saw his son raised up. I'm telling you, God will let you see the harvest. God, Lord, have mercy. I can see sometimes why I call for people like I do.
It's in me, and I call for him. The reason why, because I can see him.
Yes, sir.
I can't come right to him and tell you which one it is, but I'm getting so good now I can kind of tell you whereabout it's coming from. Say amen to that. See, I think that you can see the invisible.
Yes, sir.
Come on now, shake it up.
Yes,
see, that's why he said to them that have what? Ears to hear. Come on, let them hear. He ain't talking about your natural ears. Your eye has not seen natural eyes. Your ear has not heard natural ears. He's talking about the spirit man. He's talking about the man in there that's developed, and you walking in the spirit. You're going to hear stuff other people can't hear. Come on now. You're going to be able to see stuff other people can't see. Elisha prayed and said to him about his servant Gehazi, he said, Lord, open his eyes. Elijah didn't say, Lord, if it be thy will, open his eyes. It is God's will that your eyes be open. You don't need to ask God.
Come on.
We're going into a whole new dimension, folks. You're going to see the scriptures like you've never seen them before. And whatever's revealed to you shall be restored to you.
Yes, sir.
I went and told my boss I was leaving that company. He jumped up and closed the door. He said, Bill, what's wrong? I said, nothing. He said, why would you leave? I said, I got a call on my life. You got a what? I said, I got a call on my life. He said, Bill, take 2 weeks off. Just like that. Didn't hesitate. Knew I'd been working too hard. I took 2 weeks off, meditated it some more. The more you meditate, you'll see things clearer than you've ever seen them before. And when a vision is clear, there's an acceleration towards your own goal. Let me tell you, I saw it like I'd never seen it before. I came back and he said, Bill, how you doing now? Let me get you a cup of coffee. Can you bring Bill a cup of coffee in here? He just knew he had me. Now, he knew I had come to myself. He said, Bill, what do you think? I said, I'm leaving. He said, oh, no. He began to offer me things. Now, bless him. I mean, that's what they're doing. Say, I let you work full time. And you won't have to work on the premise. You work in the community. And you can do your church work there. I said, man, that sounds like God. Turn to John chapter 14. You remember, on the way up the mountain, you're going to be tempted. And they're carefully crafted. You almost can't catch them without the Word of God. Without the Spirit of God helping. Carefully crafted temptations going up that mountain, because you're going to occupy that mountaintop. Look what it said. How we doing? We're doing okay? I'm just going to give you this little. Yeah, we're going to zoom up this elevator, whatever that thing is. Look what it says here. Chapter 14, verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba, which is a king's deal. This is Abram coming back from getting rescue in Lot. How'd you like to have a child named Lot? Can you Google Lot, see what you get? Must have been somebody trying to buy some property. Okay, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him what? Tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for thyself. I teach this all the time. I tell them, whenever you bring home the tithe, two people go meet you. One of them going to be from the devil. The other one's going to be from God. Y'all didn't get that. Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand to the Lord. Watch this. The Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that's yours, lest you say, I have made Bill Winston rich. God is not just my source. He's my only source. Now, I'm not saying that people can't help you out, but God directed me to show me that that wasn't what he wanted. Because right after I turned that down, my wife came out of came out of the restroom, came to me and said, God just spoke to me and told us to sell our house and move to Tulsa or something like that. And he had just spoke to me, told me to sell our house. We put the house on the market. How long did it take for it to sell?
Like 48 hours.
48 hours. Gone. Are you here? I'm doing what happens when you have revelation. See, if you don't have any revelation, you'll watch it because the enemy will try to get you to conform to the world. But revelation causes you to see in the eternal. And once you see that, you rest in peace. You say, all right, praise God. I don't know how God gonna do it, but I sure know what he's gonna do. Because he showed me what he's gonna do.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes.
What am I saying? Now I'm saying that it's a shift coming. And that shift, the first shift that you're gonna have, is gonna be a shift in knowledge. That you're gonna go just from head knowledge to revelation knowledge.
Yes.
Also, there's going to be a shift, glory to God, in the glory. Meaning that before we had to lay hands on everybody. But you're coming into a time right now that as you preach the word of God, the glory is going to fall.
Yes.
Folks, we're coming into a time where the latter rain is coming. And anything that is not of God that's hanging around your life is going to be washed away.
Yes, it is.
Anything that's causing shame is going to be removed. Anything contrary to the beauty of God has got to go. And nothing is going to resist it. And anything that is resisting you from getting to your destiny is going to be subject to punishment. Glory to God. You're coming into a season where no Christian is going to be poor, in debt, sick, stressed, failing, frustrated, or rejected. You're coming into a time like you've never seen before. It's going to be a time of phenomenal miracles. Even if you told somebody about some of them, they wouldn't believe them. I'm saying you're coming into a time where God is recovering your dignity. He's going to make it so that nobody will laugh at you anymore. And I'm saying to you, whatever's been stolen from you is going to be returned to you. Whatever's been holding you back is going to be moved out of the way. The Holy Ghost is now going to come in your life, and he's going to deal completely with anything and anyone that comes against you, because you're going to make it to your wealthy place, and the kingdom of God shall be advanced, and Jesus shall come back to a kingdom that is set up here on this earth. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got. Now, I wanted to give you a little bit of a prophetic word right there, because God is going to beautify the church. That's the latter part of Isaiah 61. I know we read the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, but read the rest of it now, because the rest of it took place with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to send one back, the person of the Holy Spirit. He's going to beautify the church. Anything that has been causing shame in your life is going to be removed. Isn't that wonderful? He's rolling away the shame. Give the Lord one more praise. That's a prophetic word for you tonight. Now, a couple of things I want you to go by with what I've said. From now on, be bold. I said be bold. Yeah, you can take your seats, please. I'm just called to see if anybody's here. There's always somebody that might have come in the meeting and need Christ. But I want you to be bold. No more milquetoast preachers. Now I'm going to say it like they say it in the hood. No more punk preachers. We're going to speak that word. You're going to speak it boldly. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You hear God and just say it. And when you do, you'll see the miraculous take place in your life. My wife said it before. She doesn't think God ever intended for this much word to go forth without some miracles, without some confirmation. So let's get the miracles going. We're going to advance the kingdom. Anybody here who needs a miracle in their life of being born again? That is the greatest.